Ahoy, one and all.
It's not the new season yet.
No. Another Sack Manager, episode 67. You've entitled this, What a Season It Was. Care to elaborate, given... Just explain to me, first of all, you've described this season for us as a podcast, being the, you know, everyone has a second record, but this is the third record for, Blues.
Well, we've had a few issues with actually doing a more regular podcast due to one thing or another, sometimes for health reasons, sometimes for like can't be bothered reasons, and holidays and all that kind of stuff. So I don't think we've done 20 episodes where other podcasts have probably done at least double that.
Well, some of them might even be putting out one every 2 weeks.
You never know. Yeah. So we
Or two every 1 week.
And so bands have that difficult second record. We've got our difficult third season. So hopefully Pochettino keeps us in.
Unbelievable.
Doesn't sell us to, I don't know, Newcastle or something. Levy's probably eyeing us out for a drop to the championship or something to get some money back. But hopefully we'll be back next season and actually doing a few more.
Well, I think we will definitely be here, but obviously...
There's not that many more parts for me to replace.
No. But obviously there was quite a few different things just sort of came up and we just couldn't quite, you know, what was it? You know, you yourself, the car, the oven, the treadmill,
the hot water service.
The hot water service blew up.
The washing machine.
What other appliances is there? The TV?
Well, I had to fix the dishwasher. I had to fix the oven. Yeah, we talked about that. The fridge is only 4 years old, so they'll go in a couple of years. Just every big thing that's in my sort of house had to be fixed one way or another. That cost it. And then there was me. So I ended up with cataracts at one stage. So I had to have surgery for both eyes. I sort out my teeth.
Why am I laughing?
Sort my teeth. And then I got this strange rash on my leg, on the bottom of my left leg that has gone away just about. But it just appeared one Sunday and then that was me out. I couldn't even walk for a week. So there's all that and a few other things. And that's what we've done about 3 episodes this season.
So I guess...
so that's why this is late as well.
Yeah, so we've decided to call this What a Season It Was. And I guess what we want to do is just go through maybe... so the last game that we talked about was it Watford?
Watford,
did you say? Yeah. And since then, there's been a few games. So I thought maybe if we just go through with, you know, we're not going to go through every game, but we'll just mention each one and maybe just a bit of a feeling, and then at the end we can talk maybe a bit about some, you know, some. Am I allowed to go into transfers?
Yes, you can go to
transfers.
Yeah, you love it.
And a bit about, I guess, how we feel the season finished, maybe compared to last year, because last season, it's not the season we've just gone, but you know, 15-16 was a great season for us, but we didn't finish it off.
No,
really well, you
we
know,
collapsed almost.
But this season was a little bit different. We'll get into that, and maybe just a bit about the feeling. Maybe mention a couple of players who improved, maybe who didn't. I don't know, that sort of thing. We'll just see where we.
Do we talk Lamella?
Well, why not? Because I've got him written down. But so I guess let's sort of start and. Oh, God. Okay, so I'm just trying to find the Watford game. So the Watford game, would you believe, 8th of April. What are we now, June? So that's
we're
7 or 8 weeks
late.
Away.
We're a bit late.
So that particular one, 4-0 away. And then we went to Bournemouth. Sorry, we were at home against Bournemouth. My apologies. 4-0 at home.
In the end, we've been going through this purple patch at the moment, and I was a bit worried about Bournemouth, but Bournemouth because Bournemouth can play a bit and can sort of understand how we play as well. But
for me, I remember sort of thinking at the same time, well, What about the home games? Are we going to drop one, or can we go through, you know, in this amazing last season that we've had at our ground? Like, can we go through and can we finish off? I mean, I guess we're all worried about the Man United, you know, and it was the last game too. Yeah, the last game, the possibility of a slip up. Mourinho's head was somewhere different, you know, saying that the Europa League final against the Ajax youth team, let's face it, was like their most important game in 20 years or something. You never forget about the Champions League trebles and all that sort of thing.
He's a ridiculous person now. He's become a comical figure, you know. So the stuff he says is ridiculous, isn't it?
It almost feels like I know he's won it, and people say, well, it's a winning season.
No.
But it almost seems to me that it's a forced fit. It's not a natural fit. Like when you see Pochettino and some of the other managers in the league, you know, it's like they belong. They belong at that club. Pochettino's probably, to be honest, is the best example. I mean, you could also probably say, well, does Conte fit at Chelsea? Well, yeah, he's really turned that sort of ship around. In fairness to them,
yes, he has.
But when you think of, you know, Man United, it's like, well, you were really the only big name that we could really sign, and we've got you, and you know, well done on this season.
No, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. Because it's not just because of who came beforehand. Let's ignore the previous two. Let's talk about Alex Ferguson. He fitted them well because of his philosophy of the way he wanted to play football. Attack, attack, attack. And he won trophies and he beat teams from that position of strength, of attack. And he had the players to do it. Mourinho just has a very boring, blasé side, overpriced journeyman and... You know, there's a few young players maybe coming through, some strong potential, but overall, they're a rubbish side, really. That they won, they call themselves, they won the treble. They're calling it, what, the charity or the community shield as a trophy. And then they won probably the least respected, you know, they won the League Cup, which is the least respected trophy in the English domestic game, and the Europa one, which was basically, if you finish fifth, down, that's, you know what I mean?
So here's a good one for you. So Chelsea won the FA Cup, yeah?
Yeah.
And they
no,
won.
No, they didn't.
Oh.
We won't mention.
You see how much I care about that? Oh, that's right. It was bloody Arsenal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, because I just thought to myself, I wonder if we'll play in that. If we, yeah, anyhow, let's blow that one out of the water. So... Should we just go through a couple of the...
Well, except for Chelsea, who won the league, the rest of these sides who have won trophies, say, in England, are not in the Champions League.
No.
So they might gloat and all that, but they'll be playing Thursdays.
Let them eat cake, eh? and then a difficult one against Palace at Selhurst Park. You just never knew with Allardyce, you know?
I think when he was saying... Yeah, we could sometimes stumble, but it's more like, I think, for our players, you know, concentration.
I believe he's left.
Yeah, he's retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Retired altogether or just...
Well, he's retired altogether, supposedly. Like, he's 62. He's probably feeling his age. It's probably... You know what? I think for him, it's kind of like maybe the move to Palace was a anticlimactic because he finally hit the straps. He actually got England... You know, which is very difficult to remember because I think he only managed one game.
Yeah. I think it was.
And then, you know, he couldn't help himself. He's one of those, you know, sort of in the Harry group of let's make some money, you know, and maybe in the past he's got away with it. I don't know. But
some people might even call him a gangster or something.
No, he's not a gangster. He just likes money. And he got caught. And you know what? The reason they went after him, you know, to play this trick is because they knew the fish very well. And they knew it would bite.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And there's lots of stories we probably haven't heard about certain different managers who do this, who do that, who just maybe get away with stuff that maybe if there's a bit more media pressure on them wouldn't. So he got caught.
Because I know they're talking. I don't know if they've announced Frank de Boer, but they seem to think that he is the main.
Yeah, I heard that.
The main sort of one. So I guess we just watch this space, I guess.
Well, he was. He was rumored to come to Spurs.
Yes.
And instead of Pochettino, he went to Inter Milan and made a mess of that. And so maybe this is a good move for him. Somewhere that's not the spotlight isn't immediately on him. He could sort of build that side, put them through his AX style paces, and then you never know.
Yeah, yeah. Then after that, back at the lane, the Arsenal, the 2-0 win. Fantastic.
Oh, it's like playing a championship side. No, it was great, wasn't it? Well, we were worried. I was worried that, you know, but looking at our team compared to them, we really were hungry, really wanted it more, and their kind of lackluster, especially when they play good sides. I mean, they got spanked twice by Bayern Munich, and they're a good enough side to beat, you know, teams from, say, sixth or seventh down. But they struggle a little bit with some of the better sides, especially some of the sides who are quick and strong like Tottenham.
Mm.
You know, and they're missing something. They're almost, you can call them Spursy in a way. They've
become, the doctor's back.
they're the team where they've got that soft centre. If you put enough tough pressure on them, there isn't anything coming back. So, you know, they lament, you know, Wenger there. Well, I don't mind if he stays. But you would think him being there for 20-odd years, he would realise the issues that they face and the teams that he inherited when he first got there. And he built, you know, they had a tough, you know, some of those tough midfield players, you know, and tough defence. And I don't see them having that type of player anymore.
No, no. Then we had the little banana skin against the slip-up against West Ham.
Yeah, and there's a few people in the media over there who said we bottled it, which was bizarre.
That's right, yeah. So let's talk about that, because
it doesn't make sense.
That angry. There was one lady, and I forget who it was, and she was the one that got, you know, whether rightly or wrongly, got slammed for saying that on TV, saying the Spurs bottled
it's 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
You know, to me, you know, that's not what bottling is. I mean, you have to be
on top.
You have to be on top to be able to do it.
Like Greg Norman.
Yeah.
He bottled it how many times in golf?
Yes.
You have to be in a leading position. And
yeah.
You know what it is? It's that bias against Spurs, I think, in that media over there. And even, you know, Aussie Idealist mentioned it in a tweet or something like that. That no one treats, you know, they've had so many seasons with Spurs were an average side that they could, you know, make fun of us. And then, you know, ha, 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 look at me, I'm making fun of Spurs. And now there's a good side there. They don't get it. They don't know how to treat Spurs. They're still thinking, you know, that lazy journalism of what we were, not what we are now.
Mm.
And it's coming back to bite them, and especially that lady over there. I don't know who she is, but to say you can't be second and getting close and actually, you know, at one stage 10 points behind the leaders down to 4, and then say they've bottled it. Because if anyone had bottled it up to that point, it would have been Chelsea, because they dropped 6 points. If we had won, you know, but no one mentioned that.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah. We've addressed that. Then, yeah, the big one, the last game at White Hart Lane versus Man U. So that was the 2-1 win.
That was a good win. But for me, it's funny watching the aftermath when they, you know what, and it was like a private party. So some people might.
So you watched it on Spurs TV?
Oh, no, I watched it on YouTube.
That's right, yeah. Because, well, I watched it, I think they had the live Facebook
thing. But they didn't have the full thing on YouTube. They cut out a bit. So on Spurs TV, I watched it again, and they had the full, you know, celebration.
And I just loved it that there was that pitch invasion, and there were guys like running towards the corner flag on their knees, thinking that they've scored a goal.
Yeah,
celebrating and everything. I mean, that was what it was all about for me.
Yeah, well, that celebration was all about the fans, and them fans doing that just meant that, you know, they were living out their dreams as kids because they would have loved to, you know, scored. Yeah, that's fantastic. And it was a peaceful one. It wasn't like we were chucking bottles or anything like that. We're just, Spurs fans were just going, okay, this is our ground, you know, and saying goodbye to it their way.
Yeah, I mean,
when all these people the result, kissing the center spot as well. That was funny.
And somebody trying to dig up the penalty the penalty spot.
Did they?
Yeah. Excuse me. So, staying on that one. Yeah. What was your thoughts on the we talked about the aftermath, the celebration with all the different players. You know, the king. They say the kings of White Hart Lane. I thought there were some debatable kings, to be quite honest.
Well, you know, they had to
David Howes.
Well, they had to have people from different eras and. So that's why some of the players were there. Yeah. But, you know, it was amazing that, you know, there was guys, I think it was Jones, who was from the double side. He's in his 80s. And how fit is that guy that he's still going strong? He's doing well. You know, and for me, there was a lot of those players from the early 80s. That was when I started following Spurs. So to see those guys like, you know, Hoddle and Hazard and all that, and Graham Roberts, that was like, you know, that was my sort of first era. And they're the ones that sort of tricked me into believing Spurs won stuff every year.
Yeah.
Liars.
I thought, and it's taken me, I would probably say, the better part of a decade to forgive a guy like Berbatov for the way that whole move to Man United went and how he threw the cot in the pram. I mean, you have a look at what he did and how Modric did it. Tell there's just a different sort of class. But I've heard him on a TV or a radio commentary talking, I think, during the season. And I was very pleased to know that he was quite complimentary. He wasn't just, you know, talking about us, but he really talked through us a little bit. Yeah. When I say through us, you know, like, you know, that he was still... felt as if he was part of the furniture and so forth. And I just thought sometimes when you leave a club in such acrimony, I think, and I think it's fair to say that that wasn't the cleanest transfer that could have gone through.
You could be right there.
You know, that possibly a lot of players just don't bother coming back because it's just too hard. But, you know, kudos to the club or whoever, you know, to try and mend these sort of bridges. And, you know, I think he had a decent go at it at Man United, but, you know, what could he have been if he had a stay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think sometimes...
Just to finish up, when I saw him sort of come out, I thought, you know what, I'm okay with that. I actually felt as if there'd been enough water under the bridge now. I think, seeing it there, I think it actually exercised some demons for me because that one had stung personally with me for quite some time.
Yeah, well, look, with Berbatov, he was part of that almost rebuilding phase of Spurs where suddenly we were...
The Martin Jol era.
Yeah, we got back our attacking flair. We wanted to attack and score lots of goals as opposed to previously where defence and all that was our prime, you know, our primary way of playing. So I think it hurt because he was that special player. And we don't have that many special strikers, so he brought in other players into that team, you know, got them to play better, you know, like King. King was a much better player when Berbatov was on the pitch, and I don't know, I think because it hurt, because he stood for something like the new Spurs, sort of going back to what we were, to how we played, and the philosophy of Tottenham. And I think that he went was sad because we still thought, oh, are we still there? Are we still just a selling club? And, you know, sometimes those things happen. But it was good to see him back. And how about my favourite bit was when Junula thought it was the Junula show.
Oh, my goodness. With the camera and talk about
and his,
the vanity of it all.
And his gear. The stuff he was wearing. It was always like he was clubbing afterwards, wasn't he? Everyone else conservative in suits and ties and mostly. And then general, I was like, ah, just on my way to somewhere special. I would just say hello. But yeah, but that's, you know what? I kind of love that because that's him. You know, he didn't pretend to be somebody else. That's him. Mm. So it was good to see.
There were a few players.
Before that,
yeah, sorry.
I want to say that when that happened, I forgot about the game. It didn't bother me that we had won or not against Man United. This was such a special thing. And this was like a Spurs private party that they showed it, and you can watch it on YouTube. And all that, to me, was irrelevant. It was about us and for us. And if people sort of outside said, oh, because I read reviews, go, oh, it was a bit boring because it wasn't for anyone else but Tottenham fans. And I love to see all these players that are still fit and healthy.
Because I know when West Ham had their one the previous year, it was a night game, and they had all the fireworks, dropped the lights, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if we would have done the same sort of thing, but yeah, I agree with you. It was really very very nostalgic. I was just going to say there were interesting
omissions. Yeah.
You know, well, of course, there always is, and you know, sometimes some of these players don't want to be a part of it, or they're just happy just being out of the spotlight, etc., etc. So I would have liked to have seen some more, but there was some there that I just thought, you know, I don't know if you're quite Kings just yet. So Edgar Davids, they sort of made him out, I think, to be a better player than what he actually was. I mean, he was done when they came to us.
Oh, yeah.
He was living off the reputation and the you know, the glasses and all that sort of thing. You know?
But I think what he brought to Spurs,
that
was
pit bull.
Yeah, but the battler, the never give up, the professionals. You know that our aim is to win, which basically, you know, how we always supposedly, you know, had a soft centre. He was one of those players that weren't that soft centre. He would have battled. And I think maybe some of that, maybe, you know, sort of swept through that team he played for. And maybe he said, well, that's maybe, you know what, he wasn't the greatest of players, but he had that attitude.
Definitely, when you saw him come out, it was that international class straight away.
Oh, yeah.
So I can understand that. Personally, just my view was that, you know, he was already a spent way, way past his prime by the time he came here. And I totally get, you know, I mean, I love to have players of that ilk connected with the club. But, you know, perhaps there were some other players that could have taken that. The other one for me, and this is, you know, and I've had this conversation with a few people. I never thought much of David Hales, but the guy played near on probably 200 games for us, you know, and you need to tip your hat to that.
Well, there's those players that aren't skillful, aren't remarkable, but week in, week out, they do the job. And I suppose from that era, you need a few players, you know, because there wasn't that many.
And did Justin Edinburgh, did he come out? I'm pretty sure he did.
I can't remember, really.
And I thought, really?
Well, really? Justin Edinburgh was there for a while.
Yeah.
So for some people, you know, maybe a little bit younger, that was their team that era, so he would have meant something.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, he was my era team, and you know, I remember just thinking, you know,
there wasn't much around.
We'll leave it at that, I guess. But
you know, and there's probably other players. Like, you know, Gazza wasn't there.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, if he was fit enough to be there, he would have been the first one there. But I think he's unfortunately in such a bad state at the moment that
you know, Gary Lineker, but then I suppose he sold himself back to Leicester, so
that's
maybe
a funny
that's
one.
Why
it's a really really funny one, because yeah, when you know, when I was at the height of watching it, like you know him, you know, the 91 FA Cup final and everything associated with that, and you know, for me, he was the talisman. You know, he was, I epitomised him. I looked for him, and he was Spurs in that early 90s.
But
yeah, just,
you know what?
Once again, one that with social media, I don't think has done himself any favours.
But you know, I can understand where he's come from, because he's a Leicester boy. That's where he grew up. That's where he played his first football. So for him, that means more to him, which is fine. I mean, it doesn't ruin my sort of thoughts about him. He's still a great player for us. it's just that basic to him. Obviously, Spurs was a job.
Yeah. Just some glaring omissions, and I know not everyone can come, but we talked about Davids only being there for 1 year, but how good would it have been if Klinsmann had got there? And I've no doubt that they probably tried to get him. I think at this stage he'd already left the USA post, or long since left the USA post. So I would have thought, you know, then especially you know, just knowing what he did at the club and everything, I mean, the way that he always talked, even when he was back at Bayern Munich and so forth, that, you know, the way he spoke about the club, that, you know, that he would have fit in really well, because he was another guy that, you know, when you talk about Davids being international class and the club being associated with real flair players, they don't get any better than Jurgen Klinsmann.
Yeah, well, maybe it was just difficult. Maybe he was doing something else. You don't know. You know, I reckon that you're right. They would have tried to get him because he meant a lot for that period when we were kind of suffering.
Well, know? I just expect him to come out. I really did. I thought that he was definitely going to be there. Was there anybody that you thought you would have liked to have seen that's still living?
Still living. Oh, well, so
in all due respect to all the guys that have worn the shirt for years and years, and guys that we just know as a name on the board that's, you know, won X amount of trophies. And
well, you know what, I was kind of happy because there were so many of the sort of early 80s team in there. I was more than happy to see all those. I would have, it's a pity Jimmy Greaves suffered a stroke, and probably yes. He would have been amazing, and he would have, the roof would have been blown off if he had come out. You know, that would have been nice from that era, you know, because we don't really have, you know, that many players. A lot of them probably died. You know, is Dave McKay alive?
No.
No, so.
Because he died probably, what, 80 months ago?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, so, you know.
See, he's a guy that I never got to see play, but if I could choose one player, I would have liked to have seen him play.
You know what? It's a pity there wasn't. We won the league just before Match of the Day started, you know, over there in 64 or something it was. So, you know, we would have, because also ITV at the time had regional football, we would have got to see, there would have been a lot more footage of Spurs, you know, if only that football had started on TV a little bit earlier. So we missed that side, that great side. You know, we get bits and pieces, but it would have been great to see them in full action, just, you know, just in footage or something, because that's all we can do. But yeah, I suppose they probably managed as much as they could, you know. Yeah. It depends on what some of these other players were doing. Who, so besides Klinsmann, was there someone else that you thought, oh, you know, why didn't they vote George Graham? Or Al Towers? Where's that?
Well, I was just going to say, just in regards to that, I would have liked to have seen Martin Jol. I still don't feel comfortable about how that all went down.
Well, maybe that's why he wasn't there.
Yeah, but I sort of think, you know, he's another guy, I think, that has spoken, and I know he's affiliated. Is he with Ajax now? Or
I don't know. Somewhere in Holland.
Yeah, where he has, I think he understood what was going on.
Oh,
And it would have been great to see, yeah, some of the other managers.
You know what? Maybe it still hurts too much for him. Don't forget, Levy's still running the club.
Yep.
Even though it was a long time ago. Maybe he wasn't happy. But you know what? It was terrible how he got sacked. People in the stand knew he was getting the sack that night when we were playing. I forget who we were playing. How would you feel?
There were some players there as well, still playing. So Peter Crouch, obviously he will always be remembered very fondly for me, because I, you know, a very likeable sort of guy.
Did you see social media where he took that shot of him in the giraffes because spending time with the family?
But I'll always remember him as being the guy that, you know, that scored the goal to get us into that first Champions League.
Yeah, yes.
You know, that was very, very important, you know, and possibly even back then, even though technically on paper Man City have a technically better side, but I mean the gulf back then was a little bit wider.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wondered maybe if we would get Van der Vaart down.
What I'd like to see him.
And even, you know, I know there's still Champions League going, but, you know, just see Modric and Bale. I think
they wouldn't have come because of. But Van der Vaart would have been nice.
Yes.
He's a special. He didn't stay there too long, but God, he was a special player for us. And you knew he wouldn't, you know, you could tell he wasn't 100% as fit as he used to be because he wouldn't last the game. But God, when he was on fire, you just, oh boy, just the thought of it.
Yeah, certainly one of the more modern era, probably one of my favourite players.
He was a magical player. And he still regrets leaving.
Yes. You know? Because he's said that many times that it was a bad decision. But I think, you know, the whole thing that was going on with his wife at the time.
Because she was meeting the media over there, wasn't she, in Germany?
Yes, Sylvie, yeah. But, you know, there was the whole, you know, because they'd sort of...
They split up.
Split up and so forth. There were kids involved. You know, so I can understand. But, I think that, you just wish that, you know, if he could have been there, it would have been nice to have him there.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes they can't make it, you know. But at least they tried to get as many players from the different eras as they could.
Yeah. I mean, overall, you know, I thought it was a very...
And then the rainbow appeared.
Yes.
So that was that was a great moment. So it said, well, we're close, you know, to that end of the rainbow where the treasure is, and, gee, we're getting closer to it, aren't we?
Mm.
Especially the last two games after the Man U game, we were just training sessions.
Well, let's go on to that. Was there anything about the last game that you wanted to mention? Or?
No, look, tell you the truth, the minute they started celebrating White Hart Lane, I forgot about the Man United game.
Yeah,
because they weren't, you know, they weren't really anything special, are they? They're not really what they were anymore, and. The only way they would have spoiled it is if they, you know, tried to just park the bus. And I think Mourinho sort of knew he wasn't going to do that because he doesn't have the squad, really. So, to me, it was a great moment, you know. And the next day, we saw the photos on social media. They started just smashing the ground.
Yeah,
there's nothing there. Just
they're certainly going through it. And some of the pictures that we're seeing online via the club's Twitter feed and Insta, the stadium is just it's like every day there's a new terrace being whacked on. So
you know what,
it's like Lego pieces.
Yeah. But also, why didn't we sell some of it? Maybe because of the timing, you didn't have time to actually pull it apart. And, you know, there'd be smaller clubs and stuff like that who would buy some of that seating. Or
we don't know if they did do it.
Okay. Well, because all I saw were them just smash. The fans, I wonder, the share, you know, the members or the, you know, season ticket holders, maybe they would have wanted their seat.
Well, how would you feel if you saw somebody trying to take the seat off?
Fine. Yeah. I don't know how they would, but
if you got a drill or something.
You know, the problem is the timing of it. We want to be ready for the season after. If they did all that, we would have to wait another season before the new stadium would be ready. So they had to smash it. But it'd be nice to, you know, just to give people a chance to grab some mementos and all that, or. Yeah. Even just set it up for a charity, you know, sort of thing.
Or even just, you know, like one of the placards of, you know, Under Armour or Holston or something like that, you know, and you just put that in the pool room or something and just, you know.
That would be nice, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like when the old VFL park here got torn a bit, South Melbourne bought some of the seats, so we were sitting on VFL park seats when we were playing there.
The wooden ones?
The wooden ones, yeah, wow. Sprayed in blue.
All right, yeah, so, okay, Leicester City, so the King Power. Once again, a bit of a banana skin. We just didn't know what was going to happen. Personally, you know, I think everyone was sort of saying, yes, of course, we'll win. But, you know, I think Leicester are probably thinking, well, this is a match where we can, you know.
Well, weren't they making fun of us or something like that? I can't remember what it was. But, you know, at one stage, you know, I think it was 2-1 at one stage, and then basically we blew him out of the water after that. So, it was, I think for me, it was in a way, as relief, because we struggled to beat them last season. I think, did they draw it? Did we beat them at home? Because we played them away. I think I don't know whether we beat them at the beginning of the season. But
I think it was a draw.
Yeah, so
nil.
To go there and just to basically show them the difference in class 1 year later, that they've gone backwards, where Spurs have basically improved and got better. We're a better team than this team.
In fairness, their supporters are not thinking that way. They're thinking, you know what? We know we're rubbish. We've somehow won the league.
I know.
And the whole thing about them sacking Ranieri and everything.
You know what? If you talk to their fans, a lot of them agreed to that decision to sack him. I think maybe I find it a bit difficult because...
How can you sack him? Like, it was just...
It was player power.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was. They didn't want him. And obviously, suddenly they started winning after they got rid of him. What's that all about? That's bizarre. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
To me, it was just one of those things, you know, there's lots of things in life that don't make sense, and that just didn't...
Well, Harry Redknapp in that Spurs show...
I mean, think about the dignity. This guy has won it. You know, these players have been part of something magic. No, I don't think they do.
They don't care about
that. They don't care, you know.
No, but it was like when Harry Redknapp in the Spurs show, remember they did that special, he sort of said... It's the players who run the team now. You know what I mean? He sort of said that you can't tell them, you can't treat them as kids like in the past. This, you know, or else I won't play for you. And that's the issue. And I think we don't realise that too. When Pochettino gets players, you know, he needs players who believe in his system and also have the temperament to stay professionals. And when those players do not fit in for one way or another, whether their attitude or an incident, out they go. And I think that's how he shows his strength. So even Toby says, if you don't play well, he gets rid of you. And so, yeah. But I think that last 8 days or whatever with Man United, Leicester and Hull.
Some of the best days of being a Spurs.
Can you believe it? Can you believe that we... All right,
when you think about what happened last year,
yeah.
You know, like losing that last game and just, you know, literally limping across the line against Leicester.
Well, we needed, I think the last four games, I think we needed a win to finish second. And I think we got 2 points and two losses. But the way we finished, I think that was more mental exhaustion. They got to the point with the Chelsea game, couldn't win. I mean, we weren't going to win the league. I mean, let's be honest about that. Leicester were too far ahead. It's just that, you know, that I think mentally, when the team, I think, realised we weren't going to win or weren't going to get close, it wasn't that mental exhaustion showed in the next month. This season, totally opposite. Not only did we get better, we were stronger by the end. We were just smashing sides. There's no way last season we would have beat Leicester 6-1 and Hull 7. Just to see those scores, especially when you get up and go look on the phone and go, what? You know, with the Hull game, I had to check.
Reset the...
Yeah, so I thought, they've just put a 7 instead of a 1. We ended up with a draw or something. Yeah, that's incredible. And you could just see the... you have to be a special side to finish like that after a long, drawn-out season to keep on going at that pace and that hunger. And it bodes well for us next season, I think, that even though we're playing at Wembley...
Well, that was my next question to you. I just wanted to just... Obviously, Kane, the last two games, smashing four against Leicester... And then smashing another 3 against Hull. I mean, what do you want?
Yeah, well, considering we were worried about when he got injured that he might not hit 20 goals, and suddenly...
Well, I still maintain we're extremely blessed as far as the injury. I mean, yes, he's had injuries, but they've not been...
We've been lucky, yeah.
So, yeah, so next question that I had was just what you're going to bring up, and that is, are you fearful about the Wembley pitch and our what seems to be like a, almost a basket case sort of, how would you say, you know, our form hasn't been great there. We've played some terrible, terrible football in that Champions League, albeit, yeah, you know, you're playing against an interleague.
Yeah, well, that's
like, but you know, how do you think that we're going to go? Is it suited? I mean, we're going to be playing on a big ground.
Well, look, I think it's
when the stadium opens up.
Well, I think we'll get used to playing on that ground, and that's the issue. Maybe you play every fortnight there, you'll get used to Wembley, and then you'll start winning. If we start slow there, then it's because we're just learning how to play there, and I'm not too worried. Because I think we'll still finish at least top four. If we were at White Hart Lane another season, we might have won the league next year. I think the way we're improving. And it, the good thing about it is that he doesn't really, Pochettino doesn't really shake up that team. He buys a few players, gets rid of some other players. And so you could just say, as a squad, we're stronger than we were the year before. And I'm sure next year, with Champions League again, he'll be able to buy some other players, some young players, who will basically make us a better squad. And I think that's what he's looking at, because what he wants is, just in case someone goes down, he's got someone ready to go. And there'll be, you know, you have to think there's guys like Dembele. Maybe he's got it might be his last season at Spurs next year, or something. You know, because he's in his 30s now, isn't he? I'm assuming. Very, very close to it, you know. This
have you seen a decline in his play from last year?
Yeah, well, his play from the year before wasn't as good, but he did suffer some injuries, and that was the issue. And I think sometimes he might have not have been 100% when he played for us, especially the second half of the season. So he needs, the good thing about this year, that most of those players will have a bit of a break. We'll go on holiday, as we've seen on social media, and rest, recuperate, clear their heads, especially. There's no Euros, there's no World Cup, and hopefully that will clear them up and be ready and make them hungry for the next season. I'm not too worried about Wembley. Wembley will sort itself out. Don't forget as well that we're playing in front of 30-odd thousand at what we did at White Hart Lane. We're going to be playing at 80,000. You know, that's, you know, all these people who couldn't get a ticket at Spurs will be getting a ticket for Wembley. And if we show some early form, oh, watch out. Just 80-odd thousand screaming Spurs on, it'll be a different kettle. Even though the crowd is further away, it's a bigger noise.
I'm certainly looking forward to it with optimism. But it'll be nice to just play that first couple of games and just, you know, get some wins under the belt.
Well, I think we're playing,
you know, because there is that as far as a fan is concerned, a little bit of a mental hoodoo at the ground. But hey,
yeah, the issue is that the league has stuffed us up again, because our first Wembley game is against Chelsea, so they never do us any favors, do they? The EPL. So, that would be very difficult. But then again, they're not. They beat us there, but they lost the important game there to a Muppet team. I can't believe
Now, all this talk of player movement sort of moves me in the direction of...
Yes, go ahead. Yes. What have you got for us?
So, I had an interesting talk with idiots at work here. And, you know, we're just talking about, you know, the transfer window is about to open, you know, Spurs will leave it to the last minute and so forth. I actually thought to myself, well, it doesn't feel as if in the last few, say, probably two or three seasons, that we've really done anything. You know how we always were considered to be a side that just did some very, very late sort of stuff. I know we got Sissoko and so forth, and we'll get to him in a second. but you know, I think Pochettino has said, I think you've got two different types of players or recruits, should we say, that will come to the club. The ones that you want, and then you've got the project players. And the project players are probably more the ones that the scouts, and I can't remember the name of the new guy who's just started with this. I cannot think of it. But anyhow, he's taken over from, yeah, Mr. Black Box, Paul Mitchell.
Right.
Yeah. Jeez, oh, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? So I was just thinking, you know, in the last few years, you know, like where Pochettino has identified that he needs that these are essential, Levy has gone out and bought early.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if that's going to happen again, but I'm not exactly sure where we're going to strengthen. I mean, you think about a couple of years ago, you know, Toby Alderweireld, two seasons ago, bought almost, you know, in the first or second week of July. Business done.
Yeah.
You think in the January before that, Dele Alli, they identified that there were probably going to be some clubs after him, and they went out, paid the money and got him nice and early. Okay, it was in the January transfer window. But, you know, the idea, I think, was always you're going to just play out at MK Dons and you're going to come down to here.
So
the business for me was done early. It wasn't done mid-season. It was done early in getting ready for the season to come. Last season, he identified, obviously, holding midfield. And Wanyama came very, 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 very quickly. I'm not sure if... Yeah, I just wonder what the next player is going to be that's going to fit into that, you know? Or is it going to be, you know, the Nkudus and the... And the Clinton and G's? Because I don't think Clinton had a great season over at Marseille. Was it Marseille he went to? I think it was.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So I think you'll see him back as well, and you sort of think, well, you know, I just wonder if maybe something will click with him another year. I mean, two seasons ago, got a few starts, earned those starts, so the kid can play. Gone back to France, coming back to us. I'm going to treat that almost as a transfer in itself, because it's someone that we really know nothing about and is still an unknown quantity. But when he comes back that time and he turned... Zabaleta against Man City, I just thought there is a player there. You can see all of a sudden that he has some flair. He plays the Tottenham way. I just really hope that he comes back and has some sort of, you know, position in the squad, and we'll see what happens. But you know, we think about, well, Walker, the whole Man City situation. It almost seems to me, just from what I read and what I hear, and we're over here. And that's all happening over there, the other side of the world. But I, you know, just the feeling I get is that, you know, that's not done and dusted that he's going to Man City.
No,
I think, you know, that we're well within our rights to ask for $50 million for him. You know, and you know, certainly I would say 45 is the absolute minimum that we should be asking, because anything else I think is a disservice to the club. Now, It'd be very interesting, because there doesn't seem to be a lot. I mean, there's the talk of, what's his name? Lamar from I think PSG or wherever he come from. Monaco, as being, you know, now he's not a fullback. He's just a right sided player, but he's not going to be the answer to Walker. Obviously, we're looking at Trippier. And I guess, you know, they're probably saying, I think rightly now, we know that Walker cannot play week in, week out.
No.
That he certainly isn't going to be able to play a game in the Premier League and then back it up for the Champions League. But, you know, but Ken Trippier, you know, we need to find somebody. I think that right back position, the earlier that they make a decision on the Walker situation, the quicker that we can do some business. I think that... you know, there's a couple of defenders. You know, is it Konsa from Charlton. Now, a centre back, a promising centre back, and probably a project player, you know. But you just wonder, you know, if you know he's probably not as tall as Dyer, but can he? From the stats that I read, you know, you just wonder, you know, maybe if they can sort of develop him to be someone that you know, they say he's got lightning quick pace and so forth.
Is that player from Schalke as well?
So you're probably talking about Max Meyer?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, well, I know pretty much that he came up in our previous podcast from this time last year. And I think they were after, 39 million euro or pound, correct me if I'm wrong. He's going for 17.5 to 18 at the moment. And they're saying that he's a snapback.
So because he's only got a year left on his contract?
It could be. The thing is, he's a playmaker. He's not a right back.
Oh, you know what? They'll find someone even if they have to... But I don't think the Walker situation has been finalised yet. Let's see.
I mean,
don't forget, this has maybe only got legs because of the media in England have pushed it, and then we take it seriously, and suddenly everyone on Instagram or especially Twitter suddenly, you know, follow and it builds up momentum. And because he has not played as much recently, that sort of adds to that speculation. And that's all it is. You don't know. You know, I'm assuming he's been at Spurs for so long, he's settled in London. Does he want to go somewhere outside of... I mean, does he want to really go up to Manchester? You know, you don't know. He's got a young family, I'm assuming.
Does he want an extra £50,000 a week?
Well, maybe that might, that might make the trip easier.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. The only problem is... he's probably looking at he's 28 or 29.
But from what I read and from what I hear, it's not a done deal. I mean, there was a whole thing, you know, like he was dropped by Pochettino for Trippier. And I think if he had his head turned at that time and Pochettino sort of thought, you're not right, I'm okay with that. But I don't think he hates the club. I think all that stuff about, you know, he's had a falling out with Pochettino, I think that's just a lot of rubbish, personally. I just think that Pochettino made that decision based upon the fact that his head was turned and maybe he wasn't quite right. His mind wasn't on the job. And when you, and let's face it, you know, if I was, given that sort of an offer, geez, you'd have to sort of course you'd have to consider it. You know, you set your, I mean, he's already set up for life, but, you know, you can really set future generations for
life. He's looking at himself, he's got probably got three seasons max, maybe, before he starts dropping off. So
yeah, I just think, you know, there's, you know, it's the perfect time to be staying with us, but we'll just wait and see. I have a strange feeling he's not going to go.
Well,
a part of me says he will, a part of me says, you know, maybe he won't, maybe.
Well, those rumours have dissipated a bit because I think, aren't they looking at Alves from Juventus?
Danny Alves.
Yeah, and there's a report that Juventus have got him out of his contract, says you can go if you want. So, and then there's that rumour linking him to Man City now.
I mean, what a fantastic player he would be. But that's the thing, you know, all of a sudden these big names, they just automatically think Man City, don't they?
The wages are tremendous. Yeah. They just, you know, it'd be ridiculous money they would be paying.
Yeah. Well, really, it'd be only the sale of Walker that would be probably what could help finance that. I mean, if he's a free transfer, you have to...
Well, the thing is, if Man City will look at Danny Alves and go, well, look, if that's a free transfer... we'll get him. We'll save £20 million or whatever. And also the player, because of there's no transfer fee, we'll get more money because some of that will be pushed towards him to say, okay, you did the good thing. You got out of your contract with Juventus. Here's your reward. So he, instead of getting, I don't know, 120,000, 150 a week, you push it up to, I don't know, 170.
Yeah. Anyhow, just a couple of other... current players in the squads that could find new homes. So all the talk at the moment is, or you know, all over the net is Vincent Janssen. Now he's had a, I think it's in the Sun or the Daily Mail, I can't remember, but there's a quoted interview that he's got there where he's talking about how, you know, he's not enjoying, you know, being on the bench.
Well, he's got Harry Kane to
beat. Yes, yeah, correct. But I think he has a decision to make, and it seems that Mönchengladbach are interested.
Well, I'd be surprised if he goes, only because...
I wouldn't be. I want him to stay, but I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes that through. Because I think he knows that if he wants to play, and if he wants to play for the Dutch side, which I think he's been getting a game recently in some of the friendlies.
He's been scoring.
And he's been scoring well. But if he comes back to Spurs, he's not going to get in the side.
Well, it depends what Pochettino thinks. Yes,
yeah. I mean, well, I'll tell you what Pochettino thinks. Pochettino thinks that we don't seem to be able to play to Vincent Janssen's strengths. We're playing in a system that is built around Harry Kane, not Janssen. They're two different players. I mean, sometimes I think previously you sort of think, oh well, you can sort of change the game. I mean, we were playing 4-4-2 in the early 90s. Banging the ball up, and you know, you bring someone else on, and you know, it doesn't matter where Kane was playing or where Janssen was playing. If you're playing 4-4-2, you've just got to be leading up the front, holding balls up, etc., etc. You know, times have changed now. You know, like where we have players playing in specific areas, not going into different parts of the field, and you know, and chasing. You know, there's all this sort of planning and. And so forth that is going into the preparation for games, and I just don't, I can't see where this is really going. This is actually going to work.
You don't know. You know, sometimes players take more than a season to get used to a different system.
Oh, look, totally. And so, and look at Son.
Yes. Well, Son got injured. That was the issue when he had. We bought him, started playing well, got injured, was never the same player again.
But he was 3 seconds from signing for Schalke.
That's the rumour.
Yeah. True.
Why 3 seconds?
Because I remember it was very close, and then Pochettino reportedly had to step in and say, no, you're going nowhere.
Well, I
mean, look at the guy. He's the best, he was like our best. You know, if you had a, you know, like an encouragement award or a player development award, I mean, he would win it, surely.
Well, he was...
Was he the best player? No, but, did he improve the most? Yes, he did. Him and Wanyama were immense.
Well, his finishing could have been better. He would have finished... He would have scored 30 goals.
Yeah. Yeah, just a few other sort of things. Lamella, still this hip injury, is still lingering.
Yeah, it's taken a long time.
Yeah, there's talk he may not be playing next, you know, for a large part of next season. Well, I mean, what is going on here? Like, what is going on? It's a disaster.
You know what? Yeah, I heard that.
We couldn't get rid of him for $5 million now.
Well, we're not going to get rid of him. He offers too much.
Nothing to lose, yeah.
You know, and don't forget as well, Danny Rose is out. And he won't start the season. He's going to start up a little bit later. So they're just
Lamella's got... Lamella's not going to play left-back.
I'm not saying he's going to play left-back. Lamella?
Yeah. You're talking about Rose?
Yeah, but I'm saying Rose as well is not going to start next season. He's going to start a little bit later. So those two players...
You can't be talking Rose and Lamella in the same sentence. No. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying as players who are injured. No. Can you imagine Lamella there? Ramona, the striker.
I could go past him the way he's playing.
You know, I just... with Lamella, we'll just wait and see with him. You don't know what's going to happen. And you sort of see him on Instagram and so forth, and he's, you know, he's been doing that rehabilitation. So who knows? I think he's still an asset to us. We just have to wait and see.
Kevin Wimmer? I think this is another one that I think that he'll go. They're talking Southampton $20 million. If they're wanting to pay 20, well, remember, 20 is the new 5. So I'd say now
Netflix.
Yeah. I just got that. So I would say, you know, I think he goes without blessing.
Oh, yeah, look.
But I think, you know, then you've got to look at this Joel or whatever he's been, the development from the, you know, the IX, the IX centre back. And I think he needs to sort of come in.
Well, you have to remember as
do
well
the business.
How old is Vertonghen? Is he hit 30 yet? That's the thing. Someone like Vertonghen is sort of nearing that end where maybe, you know, maybe this is his second last season. Maybe he's got 2 more seasons with Spurs. He would clearly be the one to go. I think Toby's much younger than him. So then we need to almost...
I don't think there's much between them because I've got pictures of them both in the same youth team at Ajax.
Oh, I don't know what... Yeah. Anyway, we need to consider that sort of natural change that will come with certain players hitting a certain age and start losing pace and so forth. So,
because Carter Vickers isn't, you know, there's still a little bit of the jury's out.
Well, I'm not too convinced, but then again, he hasn't played enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It brings us to, well, Ross Barkley, another one. The rumours just don't, you know, is he someone that you could see could fit in? And if you do, where would he fit in? Because I would say there's a lot of people saying, oh, wouldn't he be great? Wouldn't he be great? Yeah, yeah, but who are you going to drop for him?
The thing is, Ross Barkley is, A, as Pochettino will look at his attitude and how he plays and how he...
Coming off a pretty terrible broken leg as well.
Yeah, so for me, it's more like he is a good player, but has he got the temperament to succeed in this side? The players who are patient and work hard, guys like Trippier, get their chance and they stay in. Because Pochettino, once you're in their side, if you continue to play well, it's very rarely that you get dropped.
So do you reckon Ross Barkley has a bit of the shenanigans about him?
Or? I don't know. Wasn't he like? Isn't he asking for a move? You don't know with the media, but it sounds like, and there's maybe an attitude there. I'm not too sure. But he's a very good player. I mean, before his broken leg, was it a broken leg?
Mm.
Yeah.
In international duty.
Yeah. Oh, well, before that broken leg, I think he would have been, he was seen as like a special player coming through. So it depends. I'm not here or there with him. Don't care. I'm sure we can find better players. It depends as well how our youth side is going too.
And then just finally, because we've just cracked the tongue, the 1 hour mark.
Another short episode.
We're ready to go far from the hour. The last one that I just wanted to bring up was, I guess, the curious case of Moussa Sissoko.
You know what? If the French national side can play in the league week in, week out, he'd be a superstar.
Yeah.
But he's going to go.
Cause I was just going to say, you can...
if something goes back into
I think he's staying.
Why?
I just have this... Look, I base it on nothing but just my pure gut. I just don't think he's going anywhere.
If I was him, I would be going because, A, he went back into the national side and performed well for France.
Well, you know what I don't...
And they won't give him another chance. He's coming off the bench to sort of star for France.
What do... But that's the whole thing. I mean, France are no wimps, you know, on the football field. This is a very, very good side. And when he's playing in that side, he plays really well. Now, is it, you know, are we talking the same as Vincent Janssen, that his game is not I mean, I remember him when he first came to, like, many moons ago, you know, when he first came to Newcastle, and he was burning it up. Now, I know his body shape has changed. You know, his legs look a little bit more gangly than what I remember them being, and there just doesn't seem to be that sort of coordination. But I'll tell you one thing. When he was on and he played and he was playing the ball, he actually ran at defenders. And I still, you know, sometimes when I'm looking at, I think it's the one thing that we are missing. You know, Modric used to run at defenders. And this guy does have an attacking sense that even as a bench player, I still think that he's... We recorded something during the summer here, maybe in February, and we were talking about Sissoko, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we were sort of saying, you know, that... And this is what I'm sort of basing this on as well, my thoughts, is that, you know, with so many... There seems to be so many players that come through the Spurs ranks that in that second year, something clicks. This time, you know, he's got the benefit of having a full pre-season. I think he's well-liked by the players. I don't think there's anything within the squad. I know he made a few sort of comments, but do you make comments because you care? I think when we make those comments, yes, it's not the right thing to do. You keep it all in-house, totally understand. But sometimes, you know, is your frustration because you care too much? It's not necessarily a bad thing. You've got to harness that. I disagree. I think that he might... I'm not saying, is he going to turn it on? Well, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. But I honestly think that he'll still be there.
Well, look, I look at him and then I look at Jansen. And when Jansen comes on, he gives 100%. And the last few games that Sissoko was on, I didn't see that. He just seems, when we scored a goal, he didn't seem to be part of the team when we were celebrating and so forth. He just seems to be...
Yep.
He couldn't... Sometimes he was in the wrong spot, like he couldn't understand the system. Sometimes it felt like he was in the way.
Why do you think the fans never took to him in the first place? Right from the very start. Like, if he had to come from 10 million, would he be...
You know what? When he came over, it was kind of like, okay, let's see if he can play.
Yeah, sorry, but 30 million nowadays, sorry, it's not a lot. In the blink of an eye, that 30 million is like 15, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, well... It's not so much the money. It's more like when he plays, the way he plays seems different from the other players. Like the other players, when we're on fire, everyone's clicking. Everyone's running into a space, doing this, doing that. They all form together. And if we lose the ball, suddenly we're bang. We're out there to win it again. And if we go down one side, it's not working, we cut back. But the team... is moving around, is playing like almost like, say, a machine, but they all know their games. He looks totally like he's just come from another side who play a different system.
But that's exactly what's happened. He didn't come. He came very, very late, almost on the eve of the season.
Yeah, but he's had a season where Pochettino has been training. He's gone to training every day and so forth. It's not like I could understand if he was out for 6 months with an injury. He's been at training. And that's where you learn to play in that a position, to play in the system. And when he comes on, he seems like he doesn't play the system. He just seems a bit out of it. Yeah.
But it seems to me it's the same in any code of sport, whether it's the AFL here, the rugby league here, or the EPL, whatever it is. It just seems that, you know, the players that are there and that do the full pre-season, a part of all the background work, it can take sometimes... You know, half a season for the players that aren't there to actually get to that point of where you were, and all of a sudden you're just chasing your tail the whole time. And I think it's very easy for a player just to get confused. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just putting a scenario out.
Well, just counter that with most of our players, or some of our players, played in the Euros.
Yep.
So did he. So no one had a good pre-season.
No, but but there were still the mysteries around, well, you know, he probably didn't even know where he was going to go.
Mate, that was 11 months ago.
Yeah.
He had 11 months with the club and 11 months worth of training.
Yeah, but he never came. I mean, when was the last day of the transfer window?
September. Well, that doesn't matter, because that was back in August, September. You still had September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April.
But what the experts... What the experts say is that sometimes, you know, if you don't do that pre-season, you can all of a sudden probably be at that point of where you should have been, with where players have had the full pre-season, ready to go round one. He may not be ready to go or be at that stage, you know, probably by Christmas.
Well,
and now, I know that sounds a lot, because he would have done, you know, probably 100 training sessions between there, and you'd probably think, well, but...
But if you're at school
and you're continually catching up, it's difficult. And I put that same analogy out there, that he's just been playing catch-up.
No, I don't agree, because there's a lot of other our players who were at the Euros, and they didn't do a proper pre-season. And then the only one who did a full pre-season was Eriksen,
But the difference is that they're already part of the Spurs system.
Well, you still learn the system. Musa Sissoko
wasn't.
Well, that doesn't matter. I can understand if suddenly he's turned it on in April or May because it took him 6 months to get used to it. He didn't turn it on when he's been playing and when he started.
But he was only just getting big part roles.
Well, it's the same. But look, but the difference is with if you include Janssen, when he comes on, he runs and doesn't stop and he gives 100%. I didn't see Sissoko do that. And when someone else scored a goal, Janssen would be there celebrating with them. And he's more unlucky because basically he's suddenly playing, you know, he's out of his spot because someone called Harry Kane, who's a freak, who just turns it on in his third year that he's... What was the last time? Was it Jimmy Greaves who scored 3 years of 20 goals? Jimmy Greaves. Now, he was a superstar. Yep. He was another freak. So he's unlucky, but then... I can see at least on when he comes on, he gives it his all. He plays differently, but he gives it his all. And I don't see Sissoko. I think Sissoko just seems out of place because he doesn't understand the tactics. And he's had enough time to learn. And when he comes on and takes... Unless they've put him in different positions every time he comes on and he's a little bit confused, fine, but... He comes on and I don't see that connection with that other team.
Yeah, I understand that because I'm watching the same games. I just think that I think for the times that he has come on, I have seen something there. Mm. I just
think that when we saw him near the end of the season, he didn't want to be there. It just felt like... And this is a guy who's playing for the... Look, the minute the season finished, he's playing for the French national team. Immediately, because they recognise he's a good player. Mm. So if I was him or his agent was saying, wait a sec, you can't get a game of Spurs, but the French national team pick you like that straight away, you've got to go somewhere where someone's guaranteeing you a starting position. Yeah. And that's what it is. He needs to be playing week in, week out.
Mm.
And I don't think if he stays at Spurs and does the same thing where he's not playing...
Mm.
I can't see France for the World Cup. You know, don't forget, the World Cup's next season. Some of these players, that's why they want to go. Janssen wants to go because he wants to be part of the World Cup. Wimmer's going to go because he wants to play for Austria. You know, that's... You know, playing for a club is like playing... That's your job.
It's 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow, thank you.
Yes.
Playing for your country is like that spark or that dream you had as a kid. Yep. It always stays with you. And that's... And for these guys getting into a World Cup season, that's that little bit of magic. That's that bit that you want to play for your country, and that's why you're running and you're training as a 10-year-old or 12 or 15-year-old, and your mates are around the shed smoking cannabis and trying to pick up girls. You're there training, you know. And all those players who succeed have sacrificed everything. So if you can't even have that opportunity to play for your country, where as a kid that's what you dreamed of, that's that magic, why would you stay there?
Hmm. Interesting. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what sort of happens. But, as I said, the curious case of Musa Sissoko.
Well, we should do a short film.
Tell me, what would you do if I bought you a Spurs shirt with Sissoko on it? Would you wear it?
Oh, most of those shirts don't fit me. I'll have it around.
Well, now that you mentioned shirts, just very, very quickly, because I know we're just completely just blown this one out of the water. You've seen probably the same shirts that I've seen, the supposed leaks of the Nike shirts. Yeah, yeah. Nothing's been announced yet Nike, but we all know it's probably the worst kept secret. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. They're okay. There's nothing spectacular about them.
Yeah.
Maybe the third. It's always for us. I think that magical season 2 years ago where we had a sash and each of the kits were amazing. They were, you know, well thought out. And even this year, which I've missed out to buying any because they're all sold out, that gold away shirt.
The third shirt's still available.
Yeah. Is it?
Yep.
I looked last time and it wasn't there.
Okay.
So I'll try.
Might be wrong.
I'll try again. Anyway, those just look standard. And so may they need some kind of spark in the third shirt to say, okay, well, they're...
Yeah.
Because it just looks like that. Don't they basically have the same shirt for different clubs and national sites?
Yeah, you know, they're a cookie cutter, I should say, brand. So.
Yeah, what we need is Admiral to come back.
Yeah, there just isn't the money, but that's the thing.
Well, they're offering a lot of money now. And you know what the strange thing about it all is that, okay, we're finishing with Under Armour. Why didn't Under Armour come back and say, well, let's...
But there just seems to be this thing where every 5 years...
You have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, like Kappa for 5 years, Puma for 5 years, Under Armour for 5 years, now Nike for 5 years. Did I mention Puma as well? So
It's kind of like, well, I think with Under Armour, I think they were hitting their high points the last couple of seasons with shirts.
Yeah. I think that golden shirt from this year is one of the best in the last decade, 25 years, to be honest.
It's a nice one.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed out.
I'll check that one out.
I'll have a look again.
Yeah. Now, is there anything else you want to sort of chat about?
No, we've got other segments, but I think we've chatted a lot. Okay, welcome back, and we're looking at the history of Shoot Magazine in a segment called Shooting Time, and it's the last one ever. So
I've enjoyed Shoot Front, and I think it's...
I think the thing with it is that around the 83-84 season, Shoot Magazine sort of changed its focus on the questionnaire that they used to ask each different players every week in the back page of the magazine, and some of the sort of fun stuff has gone, like food and drink, which we always enjoyed.
Fish and milk.
Yeah, milk and fish, exactly, which was still just hurts.
Yeah.
So this is the last one. And because I don't really, you know, have that many more, but yeah, so this is the last one. So we're looking at players we probably all know now. So focus is on Adrian Heath at Everton, Dave Watson of Norwich, and Luther Blizzard of AC Milan. Do you remember? You must know these players.
Dave Watson, obviously, yes.
Yes.
Adrian Heath, or maybe I need to see a picture.
Yeah, he's like managing, I think, now.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at, this is, there's Dave Watson.
Yep.
Adrian Heath.
Yeah, I just...
Maybe?
Is that Elton John?
No, that's Michael Caine with big... He's very short-sighted, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he had... I thought the glasses may have been...
And I have one more, but... Oh, never mind. That'll do.
Anyhow.
So let's have a look. So Adrian Heath, previous club, Stoke, which is always interesting when you know that... For me, Adrian Heath's always been an Everton player, but there you go. Dave Watson was at Liverpool, and Luther Blizzard, as we know, was at Watford with had that amazing... early 80s success. Carr, Adrian Heath, Ford Capri, Dave Watson, a little bit different, Ford Escort, and Luther Blizzard, none. It's probably AC Milan, and they're driving on the wrong side of the road. He's probably got a driver, just in case. Yeah. Favourite player, Adrian Heath, Kenny Dalglish. Ooh, played for Everton. Dave Watson, Mark Lawrenson, and Luther Blizzard, John Barnes, and Mark Chamberlain.
Yeah. Big names there.
Two good players. Adrian Heath, favourite teams, Spurs, Stoke and Port Vale. How can you like both Stoke and Port Vale? Because they're like rivals. But at least you like Spurs.
Yeah.
Dave Watson, Liverpool and Luther Blizzard, Man United. Other sports, Adrian Heath, tennis. Dave Watson, squash and golf. And Luther Blizzard likes tennis, squash and cricket. Hobbies. The only one's got hobbies is Luther Blizzard. Photography. Whether that was proper photography or glamour,
I don't know. With his Nikon SE 56.
One of the ones that you have to, you know, hold that thing up with what the chalk that explodes to get the light. Don't move for 30 seconds. Actors, Adrian Heath likes John Hurt, Richard Burton, Michael Caine and Meryl Streep. Dave Watson likes John Cleese and Luther Blizzard, Clint Eastwood. TV shows, both Adrian Heath and Dave Watson like Coronation Street, Luther Blizzard like Hill Street Blues, and The Two Ronnies. Musos, Adrian Heath likes Frank Sinatra, Diana Ross, and Dionne Warwick, sort of standard, except for probably Frank Sinatra for that time. Dave Watson, Dire Straits, and Stevie Winwood.
The Money for Nothing era.
Yeah. Sort of early 80s. And Luther Blizzard liked Amish Stewart and Roy Ayers. Do you know any of them?
No.
Me neither. But I'll see if I can find a picture for the blog. So check the blog out.
Yes.
Superstitions. Adrian Heath wants to be last on the field. Dave Watson says none. And Luther Blizzard, none, touch wood. But you know what always annoys me about last on the field? What happens? You always see that in questionnaires, I'm the last on the field. What happens? You're in a team that someone else has that superstition too. What, do you go out together last?
Depends.
Someone has to give up.
I guess it just depends who's bigger at the time, I guess.
But it's always, I always find that weird because a lot of people want to be last. And I, when I was playing for the great Barnstonworth here in Melbourne, I liked to have been last, but I never got that many opportunities. You know, there's always some stragglers coming out of the toilet. And so when finished, nothing for Adrian Heath, though he is coaching, I think. Dave Watson wanted to be a coach, and Luther Blizzard wants to coach in Jamaica. Drinking pina coladas.
Why not?
So that was the end of Focus On from the Shoot magazine. That was from October 1983. Hope you enjoyed it in our three seasons, and we'll have something different next year. Okay, so we're nearing the final episode for our season three. Yes, everyone's relieved. I think we're going to have a lot of perplexed people who are going to look at their phones and say, what the hell is this being downloaded for a month after the season ended? But anyway, hopefully people have stayed to the end.
Well, there are still some Spurs pods being released.
Are there?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's always good just to have a bit of a listen to see what's where people are at.
So before we go, recommendations, of course, as usual, I have one. And I was going to have a few, but I said, no, I'll stick to one. And this is a book that basically sort of knocked me off my seat in a way. And it's called The Hidden Life of Trees by a German forester called Peter, I'm not going to say this right, Wallerben. Anyway,
yeah.
So he is a forester and an author, and he believes the forest is a social network for trees. He draws on groundbreaking scientific discoveries to describe how trees are like human families. Tree parents live together with their children. They communicate with them. They support them as they grow. They share nutrients with those who are sick or struggling, and even warn each other of impending danger. And I've read, and this just floors me, what the information that's coming out of this book. And there's more about what they've discovered about forests and trees. Trees live in a different timescale than us. The trees in forests are slow growers. One of the oldest trees in the world in Sweden is over 9,500 years old. Trees also pass electrical impulses to each other. Some trees release a chemical in the air warning other trees of danger. This allows the other trees to release toxic chemicals to protect themselves so that animals won't eat their leaves. And this is just some of this stuff that there was one instance where he found like the bottom of a tree that's been cut off was still growing, not growing, but alive. And he was trying to work out how. And what it was the other trees, because it was such an important tree in the forest, was still, you know, years later, feeding it nutrients.
So did it grow?
No. It was just the bottom. If you cut it off, that's it.
Yeah.
But they still wanted it to grow. And it's amazing some of the stuff that they do. And what he sort of argues is that you need to almost like have these forests to have this social tree, social network, because the ones that we grow now that, for, you know, if we use for paper and for furniture, they don't actually communicate with each other. They're almost deaf and dumb. And the ones we have in the cities, like on the streets, they do not communicate with each other. And trees take a long time to grow. So the ones that we have now just spurt up really quickly, and they don't last as long as some of the trees in the forest, because what happens is the bigger trees stop the smaller trees from growing. They don't give them much light and so forth, because then that way the nutrients are shared properly. You know, it's a great book. And when I heard about it on the radio, and then I bought it and I read it, and it floored me what they discovered about trees. It's incredible. So anyway.
Is that his only book?
No, I don't know. It's the only one I've seen. He's probably written some others, but highly recommended. So if anyone sees one, buy it and read it. You'll be astounded.
Huh? The tree, literally?
Yeah, the tree. The tree might even read it. Who knows? So that's my recommendation. Have you got one?
Kind of. The only thing I can really think of that in the last, from the time that I wasn't, that we haven't been on air, is that I went to actually see the band Madness.
The English ska band?
Yes. Do you remember when they came out?
A long time ago.
A couple of months ago. Yeah. So I can't remember if I'd already mentioned it before or not. But if not, like, yeah, I was just... because I've always had a penchant for the ska movement and
love ska.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know, to see them actually on stage was just, I think, an amazing sort of sight. And just to hear, you know, like the horns and
how ska are they? Are they more pop than ska?
I wouldn't say that they were necessarily. You know that is a very, very good question. And depending on what song you listen to or what album you listen to, you would probably have a few different things. I mean, there's a lot of their songs, like the ones you got on the radio, like Our House and all that sort of thing. You know, which
them as pop songs.
Yeah. For me, there are a few songs like that where I don't need to listen to them for the rest of my life. you know, like I've just heard about them. I mean, every band's got, you know, like one of those sort of songs that you just think, oh God, you know, I don't need to listen to this anymore. It's been done, played to death and so forth, you know. But one of my favourite songs is by them, the instrumental One Step Beyond. Incidentally, I actually didn't know, but it's an actual cover. It's an old 60s song by by one of the Jamaican ska.
Oh, yeah, sort of guy.
I can't think of... Oh, geez, it was just in my mind.
Was it on Trojan Records or something like that?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. But their version of it was just groundbreaking for their first album. I'd say probably of that first album, where I think there was like 7 or 8 songs, probably played 6 of them.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I every song that I wanted to hear, they pretty much play. I've got to say one thing though, is that they've got a new album out, and I reckon you've got to be pretty hardcore to like it. It's really almost at snail pace,
Is it ska-ish?
No, not at all. It's I think, yeah, you might get a few upbeats and. You know, as far as the guitar tones are concerned, you know, like when you're strumming up and you sort of get that chicka-chicka sort of sound, you know. I mean, for me, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear more and more of that, you know. But look, you can't deny that it was such a great show. And, just really, I would probably say that you just don't know how long these guys are going to go around. Like, the specials were out here earlier this year.
Were they?
Yeah, they sold out in like literally minutes.
I would have loved to see them. I didn't even realise they were out.
Yeah. They played a show.
Did you see them?
Oh, you know, like the Blues Fest or something like that. And they also played at the zoo.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, someone's at the zoo.
So,
but we're going into, you know, maybe like early, late March now. So at the end of summer sort of thing. So.
Wow. I had no idea. I would have liked to see them.
Yeah, well, for 145, you could have seen them.
Wow, to get dinner with her?
No.
Oh.
Get to pat the giraffe or whatever. But look, if you do get to see one of those, like one of those bands, and Rage here played like, I think just recently, you know, played them their videos back to back to back, and it's just fantastic. So,
oh, yeah.
Great band. I agree with you. There are some songs which are, I do agree, are pop, and even I sort of think, you know, it's not quite, you know, there's sort of some songs where I give a tape, but some of the more sort of scary sort of ones are really, really fantastic and just great to see live. Yeah, much better probably in the person seeing some of the new songs rather than listening to, you know, Spotify or,
yeah.
Whatever street you want, whatever.
Well, always sort of Scar was always best to watch bands live,
yeah,
as opposed to their records. Sometimes I felt that some of that energy was never on the record. It wasn't replicated. So watching ska bands, I haven't seen one for a while, but it was always fun.
Yeah. And then they had that other band. What is it? Bad Manners.
Are they still around?
Well, it was out not long ago. I didn't see them, but I just saw that they had. They had come out, and or rather they had been out, and I didn't even know that they were here, you know. And I thought that's another one where there's a couple of songs out that I thought
some of these bands have gone on forever.
So I mean, look, that movement, I mean, is still, those guys are still going around, you know, and you sort of think, yeah, late 70s, early 80s when they were, you know, literally releasing all this sort of stuff. And I'd probably say if anybody got the chance to go and see any one of those three bands, then I think you definitely need to, you know. So, is that a recommendation?
Yes, that's the next one.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess, you know, 90 minutes in, we're probably 45 minutes over time from what we actually thought we were going to do. But, you know what, like, it's hard to encapsulate that season all you know, in 45
minutes. We didn't
even
talk about the whole season. Yeah. We were just talking about that small section of it.
Yeah.
What an incredible season we did have.
Yeah. So, I guess to reiterate, I guess we'll be back for season 4.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, in the blink of an eye, it'll be
time to saddle up again.
Yeah. Obviously, transfers and stuff. You know, are we going to do a pre-season one, like after the transfer stuff is done, or should we just wait till season starts, or maybe we'll just see how it goes?
Let's wait till August. Yeah. We struggle enough trying to pull one out.
Look, I must admit, and I remember probably you about this time last year, and I don't know if it's because of the Euros and stuff, but I as much as I enjoyed this season, I kind of was glad that it was over. Like, I just was completely footballed out.
I agree.
And you know, so many times, like, you know, you've got like the Euros last year, there was no break.
True.
And you just watch the Euros because they are important, and it's like the Confederations Cup that's on now.
I will.
And I could care less, to be honest.
Well, for me, the season's just gone past, but the one before where we missed out to Leicester, that, and then watching what I thought were pretty poor Euros.
Yeah.
It really burnt me out. I think it really hurt that we didn't win the league that year.
Yeah.
And I could, this season, I've only watched Spurs. You know how, like, every year you're watching another game because it's on. None of that. And,
well, it's funny because I sort of felt the same way. I mean, you know, I've got, you know, Optus and all that, so all the games are available to me. But I just thought, well, I'm, you know, the early game would be on like at, you know, midnight or whatever. Yeah. And obviously, you know, I'm just, you know, sometimes I just found myself channel flicking rather than
watching it. Yeah, I wasn't interested in other teams.
And normally, like in previous years, I've always been, yeah, let's watch the first game and, you know.
It's like the warm-up. No, I agree. And I think it's only because we had such a sterling year that I started to love football again.
Yeah.
But it's because I've been watching, but I was before I got rid of Foxtel, some of the Argentinian games in their sort of old stadiums. They're not modern, but the noise and...
So have you got BeIN Sports? Have you?
Not yet. I'll think about it closer to August. Yeah. But I really just enjoyed the three or four rounds that I watched. They're just so Bockham Juniors and River Plate versus whoever. But it was always good because it sort of reminded me of like earlier times where everyone's ground, because of the way it was built, looked different.
Mm.
You know, it's because they had to change this stadium or this bit of the stadium. And so suddenly everyone's ground did not look the same. I think I saw a photo a while ago online of Chelsea's ground, you know, in the 80s or whatever. And each stadium, there was no coherency to it. Each bit of it was all different, the sort of the taste of the time. But I kind of liked that because it sort of gave that character. If you go to White Hart Lane, it looked different. But now a lot of the stadiums look the same. Yeah, you know, great. Like the Arsenal's stadium would look very similar to a whole lot of other ones. So that was always good to see. So I'm still enjoying a little bit of football, but with the Confederations Cup and all that,
I could care less, to be honest. I've actually enjoyed, like, I know we haven't done a podcast, but it's sort of been good to just, you know, from the end of the season till now, it's probably been a month or probably a little bit more. And it's just been good to just, I think I said to you, I am not watching any football. I didn't care if it was the A-League or whatever. I just needed a complete break. And just know that we've still got July and then, you know, August. I mean, it's only 6 weeks and the season starts again.
I know, it's amazing.
So, I just think to myself, I think as much as the players need a break, I think we need a break because we're now being force-fed this.
I suppose what it is as well is that there's so much football.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you've got, say, Foxtel, you've got, four channels. So you've got your three BN ones that will show football all the time. There's always football on another one of those channels because of the A-League. If you've got Optus, there's the Premier League. There's all these different leagues that you can see. You can go on, and then if you're online and streaming through BN, you can watch all these different leagues, whatever game you want. There's just so much.
Mm.
You know, I remember the time when you've been watching one live game was almost impossible. You had to wait to the end of the season for the FA Cup final or whatever. And suddenly,
now we've got everything available to us. And you know what? Here, of all places in the world, you've probably got, everyone's got a chance to watch whatever league they want.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
You know, and live as well. So.
And it goes beyond that because if you go onto one of those betting websites, they have every game live. So if there's, I forget which one I went to, and someone showed me, and it was like you could watch a third division game from Germany because you can bet on it.
So how does that work? If you place a bet, you've got the option to watch.
Well, no, if you got to put some money into your account, have some there, and you need to do some bets. And I don't know how it works, but if you could basically watch whatever game you want as long as there's a live feed. And believe me, everything's got a feed from one thing to the other. I mean, there's even, you know, fourth division Greek games that you could just watch live on YouTube. So you can watch just about any game you want.
Now, I know I've been getting, I don't know about you, but I get emails from, you know, the Football League, you know, like a Championship now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they've sent something out to me whether I want to follow a side in either Championship, you know, League 1, League 2.
You already follow a side, don't you?
Well, you know, I've mentioned before that I've got from my time spent, you know, in the mid-90s over in the motherland, you know, like South End.
How did it become your motherland?
Well, that's where, you know, buddy Captain Cook come from, so, you know, Cook's Cottage, all that sort of thing. So, you know, like now, if you follow, you know, previously, you know, we'd probably just get a couple of the Championship games, maybe three or four games like a week, if that, well, probably three. Now you've got the option to follow your side, even in the Paint Trophy and all these other sort of things.
What, watch them play their games?
Live.
Through what?
Through the Football League.
Well, they've got a site?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But comes at a bit of a price. I think it's like nearly, you know, like 70, 80 pound or something like that.
A season?
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
Which I thought. But you know what? Like, you're getting 42 games plus all the little cup this sort of things here and there. You know, for if you were a follower...
That makes sense if that's your first.
Like if Spurs got relegated, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll pay it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know that sort of thing. So
that makes sense that way.
Rather than just banking on having like six games a year played on being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, like now we're at a point now where even you know, I can follow a League Two side here.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, you know, and so it's just amazing. Yeah, but for me, I agree with you. It's just it's overloaded at the moment.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think we all just need a break and just take it all in and just get refreshed and ready for you know
our title winning season.
Well, you know, it's not beyond. Why should we be thinking otherwise? It should not be.
Oh, we're very close. We're very very close.
Yeah. Anyhow, 1:40.
Okay, we've got to go now,
and you've got to. Drive and do things and all that sort of thing. So, have you got a parting word for the listeners?
Enjoy the break because the big time is about to arrive.
Yes. I say hear, hear to that. All right. Come on, you Spurs.
Always.